We'll be in, let's see where I'm going to start here. I think we'll read 1 Thessalonians 1 starting out. 1 Thessalonians. Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus and under the church of the Thessalonians, which is in God the Father, and in the Lord Jesus Christ, grace be unto you in peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your blessings. I thank you for the salvation that we have in Christ. We have so much to live for. We have so much to be thankful for. We have so much to look forward to. God, we have you. And Lord, we thank you that we can meet here tonight. I pray for the fullness of your Spirit just to minister the word to your dear church tonight. God, be with those who are watching children, Father, and bless there as well. And thank you for the good services this morning. Father, I pray that your word would just direct our hearts and help us to yield to it. God, we pray for those who could not be here with us tonight. Might they find a time of solace and prayer with thee, know that we're thinking of them, Father. And Lord, tonight, edify us, help us by your word, glorify your Son. May your Spirit speak to us afresh and anew, and just help us, God, that in the time you give, we may become more like you, and you may work more through us as we yield to you, and that you may be glorified, your church may be edified. Father, we pray, and we ask it in Jesus' name for his glory. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Continuing on election, probably a couple more weeks on this. However, next week, Sunday night, we're going to take a break, and I think we're going to show that film that we showed here before, The Bethlehem Star. It's an amazing film. Anybody here seen that? I know the most in here have, or... Actually, not most in here now have, but many here have. And what it is simply a Christian teacher, I believe he was, but saved, took upon it to studying the movement of the stars. Of course, the stars are like clockwork. They all move. Everything in creation is very orderly. And so with the technology that we have now and with lapse photography and all that, you can actually, knowing the movement of the stars, roll back the dates and see what the skies were doing at the time of Christ, that Christ was born. And moving the date, I think, merely there's some disagreement on the actual year that Christ was born. But in his studies, he moved the date merely 3 years, which is well within the realm of the argument of when Christ was born, and found amazing things happening in the sky during that time. So if you haven't seen that, it's a blessing, and we'll watch that. So feel free. We'll bring some popcorn, and we're going to set up the screen back there, and we're going to watch that. It's a good documentary, and it will encourage you. God is a masterful creator, and this creation was designed around him, the Son of God, and it was made for him and to point to him. And oh boy, that will help us see that too, and as a part of that. All right, so we continue looking at election, and we know, as opposed to what some theologians would define it, we have found it to be chosen to a task and granted favor and honor in regards to that task. In the Old Testament, Messiah is elect, Isaiah 42. Behold my servant whom I uphold, mine elect. So he is a chosen member of the Trinity by universal vote of the Trinity to come and be the one who would bring forth light unto and judgment unto the Gentiles. And he is the one, God says, in whom my soul delighteth. There's that favor. I put my name on him. I put my spirit on him, that honor. He shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. Messiah. Israel, the nation, was an elect nation. So we have an elect member of the Trinity in the Old Testament. We have an elect nation in the Old Testament. For Jacob, my servant's sake, Israel, mine elect. God speaking to Cyrus, I'm going to make you king because you're going to deliver mine elect. That's why I'm going to make you king. I'm going to do it for their sake. And so Israel, God's elect nation. Their task would be indeed to be unto him in Exodus 19:6, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation was what he called them to be, that they would show forth his glory. Yeah, a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Exodus 19, 5 and 6, those verses there. A holy people that would show forth the praises of the one true God as opposed to all the polytheistic cultures that surrounded them. As a matter of fact, we saw in our study that even Moses and Aaron were elect. The Bible says chosen, but it's the same Hebrew word there. In Psalm 105:26, he sent Moses, his servant, and Aaron, whom he had chosen. Same Old Testament word that's translated elect in the Old Testament. Psalm 106:23. Therefore, he said that he would destroy them, and had not Moses, his chosen, stood before him. And of course, we know what? Moses and Aaron were what? Chosen for a task. What was that? To bring the children of Israel out of Egypt. And they received honor and favor in doing that task. God pretty much destroyed Egypt and gave them the power and the authority through them to bring Israel out of Egypt. We moved on to the New Testament and saw that still we find the word elect there. Jesus speaking of elect, in the Gospels, they don't have New Testament scriptures yet, so they would have understood elect to be Israel. So Jesus spoke of the elect in the Gospels, and that would speak of Israel in the future. We know that God is not done with Israel yet. There are more plans for Israel. And there's plans for them during the tribulation. There's plans for them during the millennium that are special. And we will be raptured out before the tribulation. So God will bring Israel back into play then at that time. We've seen that through multiple studies there through the tribulation period. We see it also in the millennium. In Isaiah 65:20, talks about Israel and talks about the millennium. That God says, there shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not fulfilled his days. For the child shall die 100 years old. Can you imagine that? What? Your son? He was only 100 when he died? Oh my God, I'm so sorry for you. I mean, in the millennium when they die, there's going to be physical death, there's going to be mortal bodies in the millennium. But when they die, it's going to be so good on earth that to die at 100 is going to be young. And a child shall die at 100 years old. But the sinner being at 100 years old shall be accursed. So if you don't believe in the Messiah, the one who, by the way, is ruling during that millennial reign, and you're 100 years old and you die, being a young whippersnapper is not going to be an excuse. Because even though you were young, 100 in the millennium, you're still going to be accursed because you knew enough what? To accept the Lord as his Savior, as your Savior. So even though comparably, 100-year-old might be someone, maybe like Nathan or somebody in the millennium, but that's not going to excuse you because obviously you're going to have the understanding that you could have been saved. So the long age in the millennium. God speaking of Israel, they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are the days of my people, and mine elect, Old Testament Israel, shall long enjoy the work of their hands. So they'll be gathered together in a special way. Many Israelites during the millennium are living in that area there. And goes on to talk more about the millennium there. We have the common phrase, the wolf and the lamb shall feed together. And many people who deny the millennium say, oh, that's just pictorial language regarding the goodness of the church and peace and the victory over evil, you know. And they say it's all pictures of just the church age. Well, what does this picture? And the lion shall eat straw like the bullock. What's that? Well, that's what, you know, animals did before the fall. That's hard to make a picture of anything other than exactly what it says, okay? And so we see that. We saw in Romans 11:26 that all Israel is going to be saved. As is written, there shall come out of Sion the deliverer and shall turn away ungodliness to Jacob. I will put together a set of scriptures for you regarding that, because the Bible gives the details of how all Israel is going to be saved. It's not that he's going to zap them and they'll believe. I think I mentioned this before. He's going to purge the unbelievers out during the tribulation. He's going to gather believing Israel together. And by the way, they will have chosen to believe, just like you and I do. And he's going to take those who've chosen to believe. Because he purged the unbelievers out, all that's left alive going into the millennium will be saved Israel. Every person going into the millennium is saved. We understand that from studying the Bible. Where do lost people come from? There are mortal people that are saved just like you and I right now. We still have a fallen nature, don't we? Well, there'll be people in the tribulation that get saved, go alive into the millennium. They've been born again, but they still have a fallen nature. They're going to have children in the millennium. And it's of those children that eventually rise up and go against the Messiah at the end of the millennium. Interesting studies there. So we see that. Then we saw the church is elect. We saw in Ephesians 1, 3, and 4. The Lord Jesus Christ has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. And remember what that word is in the Greek there? And, very good, and, which means in a fixed position, already there, okay, in Christ. All through Ephesians 1, you see that. According as he hath chosen, same Greek word used for elect, according as he hath chosen us in him, fixed position. And by the way, he hath chosen is the middle voice, meaning he hath chosen for himself. So he has chosen us for himself in him. So all those in Christ, God has chosen for himself, is what that phrase is saying there. That we should be holy and out blamed before him in love. And in Ephesians 1 through 4, as you go all the way down to 12, it talks about, you know, all the favor that God's going to show to us in Ephesians 1, 4 through 12. Let me just turn there real quick. Ephesians, well, I don't turn anywhere real quick up here, but Ephesians 1, 4 through 12 talks about all these things. He's chosen us, verse 4, having predestinated us on the adoption of children, verse 5, by Jesus Christ. Verse 4, we're to be holy without blame before him in love. End of verse 4 there. And we are to be what? To the praise of the glory of his grace. He's to be praised for what he has done. He had made us accepted, and that word means what? Not received into, but favored in the beloved, is that what that word means. We studied that, remember? It was the same word used with Mary when she said, when the angel said, hail thou that art what? Highly favored. God has made us highly favored in the beloved. In whom we have redemption. Goes on, talks about all the favor, and then verse 12, here's the task, that we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. We are to show forth the praise of his glory. That's our task, is that he be glorified through our lives. We saw that again in Romans 8, talking about the church corporate, all believers. Romans 8:33, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It's God that justifieth. Romans 8, obviously talking about every saved individual. So that would be the church corporate. Colossians 3:12, put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. So there Paul's addressing the local church at Colossae, and he calls them what? He says, put on these things as elect of God, holy and beloved. So you are the elect of God. You are holy and beloved. You see, every believer in God's eyes is what? Holy and beloved, because we receive Christ. And being in Christ makes us the elect of God. So since we are the elect of God, we're in Christ, then put on, and we're holy and beloved, then now we can put on the fruits of the Spirit. We can be changed in the image of Christ. We see all these things speak of the election of the church. All right. And so now we're going to look at some passages which bring up election again. And we saw here in 1 Thessalonians 1, he says he's praying for them without ceasing, verse 3, for your work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father, knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. Knowing, brethren, beloved, your election of God. So what is he saying there? What the Apostle Paul is saying there is, we know that as believers, God has chosen you, the church corporately, to what? To labor together. He knows what believers are chosen to. We are called what? To labor together. And by the way, he has chosen us to the very things that Paul's praying for them about. Look what he says. He says, we give thanks, making mention of you in our prayers, verse 2. Look, what's he remembering? What's he praying about? Remembering without ceasing what? Your work of faith, labor of love, and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ. Those are all things that all believers are called to and to be a part of. That's what he's remembering in prayer as he prays for them. He knows what they've been elected to as believers. They weren't elected to believe. They chose to do that. But becoming believers, they were elected to a task and do tasks for all believers. And among those are the things he's praying for them about: the work of faith, labor of love, you know, that patience of hope, enduring in tribulations and looking forward to the Lord Jesus Christ coming. He says, he recalls the gospel. He says, verse 5, for our gospel came not unto you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance, as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sakes. So he's encouraging them in the work God has called them to as believers. And he says, remember the strength that we had when we came doing the very same thing you're doing now. You saw God give us strength to have this work of faith, labor of love, patience of hope. So be encouraged when you remember we came in preaching the gospel. By the way, many times when he's talking about the gospel, he's not just limiting it to Rome to Romans 1:16 or 1 Corinthians 1 Corinthians 15 1 through 4 and so. It's not just the death, burial, resurrection of Christ. You gotta go by the context. Sometimes the gospel includes the way that people who've been saved by the gospel are supposed to live. And we have to get that from the context and realize that. So he says, you saw us come in this power. We were under persecution too. We were laboring in these things also. And you saw the power in the Holy Ghost, much assurance. We preach eternal security and faith in God to help us do all that we can do. What manner of men we were among you for your sake. And then verse 6, ye became followers of us and of the Lord. What? Having received the word in much affliction. How did they receive the word? By faith. By the way, just like you and I do. There's where the faith. Having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And then having received it, what did they do? They went on in that work of faith, in that labor of love, in that patience of hope. And so we see that. God enabled them to go, and he was encouraging them. Remember how God enabled us. So their election is what they've been called to. Because you are a believer, you are the elect. And you have an election to fulfill. God has called you to some tasks. And we are to fulfill those in the power of the Holy Spirit. So their election again is in regards to the corporate election of all believers, that they should labor together with God in spiritual things for His glory. What does Corinthians say? We are laborers together with God. Amen. And we labor together in the things of God. So these Thessalonian believers, they believed and received the gospel and were baptized into Christ by the Holy Spirit. By the way, 1 Corinthians 12:13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body. Anybody remember the Greek word for that? Into one body. Ace, right? So that word is ace. They received the word in much affliction. They believed the word. That's when they got put into Christ. That's when they were baptized into the body of Christ. And then being in Christ, they're now, of course, the chosen to go forth and labor in patience and glorify God through their lives and glorify Him through the church and through the gifts that God has brought their way. So that's simply what that election is speaking of there. And remember, now we're taking what we've learned about election and we've packed it in our suitcase and we're taking it with us to all the passages that aren't as clear as the ones we've already studied. So they'll help us and give us understanding as we go through those. All right. Another one here is in Titus chapter 1 and verse 1. Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness, and the hope of eternal life which God, that cannot lie, promised before the world began, but hath in due times manifested His word through preaching, which is committed unto me, according to the commandment of God our Savior, to Titus, mine own son, after the common faith. And so the faith of God's elect. Brother Charlie, would you give me a glass of water, please? My mouth just dried up like the Sahara for some reason. The faith of God's elect. Now, what is that? Well, it's not talking about the faith that you use when you trusted Christ as your Savior. That's a part of it. That's a part of it. Thank you, Brother Charlie. And some of you already know where we're going here. I have some people perhaps read some verses. Someone want to read, Acts 16:5. Anybody? Brother Brian? Someone want to read Romans 1:5? Brother Chris? Titus 1:13. Brother Charlie. What is he talking about, this faith? Well, in Acts 14:22, the church was, the gospel was going out, and the apostles were going back and exhorting those that had believed, confirming the souls, Acts 14:22, of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in what? The faith. And that we must, through much tribulation, enter into the kingdom of God. Acts 16:5, who has that? I'm going to go ahead and read that.
And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily.
And then Romans 1:5.
By whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations in this day.
All right. And Titus 1:13.
This witness is true. Wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound.
So what is the faith? It's the whole body of truth in regards to the Christian life. It's everything that Paul shared is what he's talking about there. And so in the faith. So when Paul writes, it's this whole body of truth. Jude says, beloved, in Jude verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation. This is what God has for every believer. Every believer in the church, every believer gets saved the same way, through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? And by the way, we have many callings that are the same in the Christian life, the common salvation. He said, Jude continued, it was needful, I was going to write about that, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered to the saints. So they're getting some doctrines messed up there. He's a little bit more specific about which part of the faith there, and getting some things messed up there, and perhaps the living of the faith itself too, Jude may have been referring to there. Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 4:7, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have what? I have kept the faith. I've been true to the word of God. I've preached the word, all the word of God God has told me to preach. I have submitted my life to the word of God. I have bowed to the Lord Jesus Christ and let him lead my life. And the best I know, I'm finishing my course with joy. And so that's that faith. It's a whole body of truth and the living out of those things. So look what Paul says. He says, Paul, a servant of God, Titus 1:1, Paul, a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect. Well, so what is he? What is he talking about there? Well, according to this faith, we know that God gifts believers in different ways, doesn't he? He has different callings in this church age for us. In Ephesians 4, what do we read? In Ephesians 4, listen to this. He says, Paul is, of course, revealing the mystery of the church. He says, and in verse 11, he gave some, what's the first word? Apostles. That's what apostle was. According to the faith of God's elect, that's the common faith we all know and have and love and live according to. According to that faith, what was Paul's calling? An apostle. And he taught about it. Some are apostles, he said. He says, verse 11, I gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers, many gifts in the faith. Paul says, according to the faith, I'm an apostle. That's what God called me to be, and I'm doing what God has called me to do according to the faith, the common faith that we know in this way, which God has delivered us much through the apostle Paul in the New Testament. So it includes the teaching of spiritual gifts, callings which are given to individual believers within the church. And Paul was called to be an apostle. Others had the gifts of ministering, pastoring, serving, all these things. We learned about the gifts in Romans chapter 12 and another 1 Corinthians or 2 Corinthians chapter 12, one of those two, I think, also we learned about the gifts in there. So that portion of the faith there. All right. And we'll look, I think, maybe at one more passage tonight. Well, we'll look at Hebrews 1:14. And here the writer of Hebrews makes a statement about angels. Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them shall be heirs of salvation? And that in reference to 1 Timothy 5:21, jumped ahead there. 1 Timothy 5:21, I charge thee before God, Paul writes to Timothy, and the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels, that thou observe these things without preferring one before another, doing nothing by partiality. Paul had been telling him to make your calling and to make full proof of your ministry and to be a good servant of the Lord, not yielding to tales and fables and those kind of things. And he says, and I want you to be sure about these things. He says, I charge you before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and the elect angels. Well, who are they? Who are they? Well, the Greek word angels simply means messengers, and so there are some people that believe that sometimes angels refers to people, An example would be in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, where God addresses the angel of the church at Ephesus, the angel of the church at Smyrna. They believe he's addressing the pastor of the church. A messenger, and very well maybe I'm of that persuasion as well. It seems to me that way. It's very hard to find a verse that is as clear as you'd like it to be on that. John, at the end of Revelation, he begins to bow to the one that's talking to him, and he says, "See thou, do it not." And he says, "Because I'm of thy," he indicates that he also has been one that's been saved by the blood of Christ and such. So he seems to indicate that he is a saint of some kind, not an angelic being. Angels have no need of redemption. He says, "I'm of thy brethren." But if you trace that back, I traced that back through Revelation, and I couldn't quite connect it to the word angel. I connect it to a voice coming from the throne. And so maybe you've traced that out. You can enlighten me on that a little better. I was thinking, well, here's that one connection where it's definitely, here's the angel, and it's definitely speaking of a man. There it is right there. And I started going backwards in the chapters and backwards and traced that one that he was talking to a voice that came from the throne. And so it didn't come right out and say angel. But folks have believed that because angel means messenger, and since he's talking to the church and the messenger, that must be the pastor. So I see that. I'm persuaded of that. Don't know that that's the final and absolute proof of the fact. Okay, but that's what I believe it is. It could be he could be speaking of elders. In that case, he would be speaking perhaps of elders of the church. They'd be messengers. In the New Testament, there was always a plurality of elders. 1 Timothy 5:1, Paul writes to Timothy, "Rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, the younger men as brethren." 1 Timothy 5:19, "Against an elder receive not an accusation, but before two or three witnesses." 1 Timothy 5:17, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor." So Timothy, where you're ministering, be faithful. Be faithful. Why? Because God's watching, and the elect elders are watching. There's others that have been called around you, Timothy, and you need to be faithful before them. So if that's speaking of men, that's a possibility. So there are people that go both ways, but some believe that there are angels just watching over. Obviously, we know that as believers, angels are servants to those who will be heirs of salvation. So there are angels watching over this thing that you and I are doing on this planet, and they're watching over us and intervening for us, probably thankfully more than we realize. Amen. And so some believe it could have some indications for that. That no, God, you're Timothy. Timothy, you're being watched from above. So be faithful, and in all that you do. And so he goes right there. All righty. So I think I'm not going to go into the next one. We'll look at some in Peter, some in Peter the next time we look. That are a little bit more not quite as clear, but we're going to take in everything that we've learned and look at the possibilities for that, and we won't have to come out of those things with wrong conclusions either. So we can be thankful for that. Let's go ahead and pray, and we'll be done for tonight. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much that you love us, Lord, and I thank you that you have called us to a purpose. It's one of the things that we need as human beings. We need a purpose to live for. And someone has said, if you don't have something that you're willing to die for, then you haven't really begun to live. And we need a purpose to live for, God. And when you saved us, you didn't just leave us here to wait for heaven. You gave us a purpose in Christ. You gave us a great calling in Christ. You've called us to many things. You've chosen us to many tasks. You have chosen us to be in Christ, the light of the world. allowing your Spirit to live through us and being a part of the Great Commission in a Bible-believing local church, helping the brethren and helping one another to grow and edifying one another in love and speaking the truth in love. Father, you've chosen us to so many things, and I thank you for that, dear Lord. We will stand before your judgment seat one day, not for our sin, that's ever been taken care of, but we'll be rewarded according to how that we have answered your callings and how we have yielded to you. And Father, I think every Christian will receive some rewards, perhaps. And Father, we want to be ready. And I pray you just ready us for that. It would be a glorious time. That it would be a full entrance, as the Scripture says, into your presence. And so, Father, we pray. We thank you for tonight. I thank you for these believers and for this church and for the good day that we've had together worshiping, singing praises unto your name. And again, for this special time of the season when we have more reception often than many times to speak of your name. And Father, help us to be aware of that. Father, we pray. Thank you, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.